listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. As Lutherans, we believe in the sanctity of life from the moment of conception, and I get to share a story today of a ministry expanding to St. Louis to support women facing unplanned pregnancies. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University Chicago. You can learn more about Concordia University Chicago by visiting cuchicago.edu. Joining me today is Deaconess Jessica Thompson, Director of Program and Ministry Services for Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. Thanks for joining me today, Jessica.
Thanks for having me, Sarah. It's great to be here.
It is so great to have you on. And we've shared the story of Redeeming Life before a few times, but you are newer to the organization and you're involved in something really exciting right here in the St. Louis area, which we will get to in just a little bit. But first, it has been a little while since we've talked about Redeeming Life. So share with us what Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries is.
Yeah, sure. Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries is an organization that we're an RSO of the LCMS, and we're originally based out of Sanford, Florida. We're connected to a church called Redeemer Lutheran Church, and we operate maternity homes. So we welcome women who have unplanned pregnancies, who are in crisis pregnancy situations, into our home and walk alongside them, providing all kinds of care, helping them to learn how to be moms and work towards independence. And we have our home in Sanford and also one in Illinois. We soon one here in St. Louis.
Very, very exciting. Yeah. What makes a maternity home different from other types of support for women who are facing unplanned pregnancies?
Yeah, we're blessed that there are many organizations who provide help for these moms in need, but many provide different kinds of help than we do. There are crisis pregnancy centers, which are invaluable for when moms are first facing this challenge, where they can go and get ultrasounds, help be guided through decision making, receive care and support and education in how to be a mom. There are also emergency shelters where women can go to if they don't have a place to go and they need to stay somewhere right now. And we're not quite like either of those. We do meet women in crisis, but we offer them long-term care and a home. It's not just for the moment of crisis. It's for a long amount of time so that we can walk alongside them and we can nurture them spiritually, physically, emotionally, in all the ways that they need.
Sure. Yeah. What is the need for this type of ministry in the LCMS? Because you mentioned Redeeming Life started in Sanford, Florida, and it's been slowly expanding. Very exciting. But what is the need for this type of ministry, though, in our church body?
Yeah. Well, our church body, as Lutherans, we are people who understand the grace of God and His love and mercy for us. We know that all of us, left to ourselves, are without hope, and we can't do anything for ourselves, and we know how great our God is and how He has redeemed us and met us where we are. And the women in our communities who are in these situations, so many of them don't know that. Mm-hmm. And so we are uniquely positioned to bring that beautiful gospel of Jesus to women who desperately need to hear it. We have the tools, we have the answer that they need, and so we're a great organization to be able to share that with
yeah.
women.
Yeah. How did you get involved with Redeeming Life?
Yeah. Well, I have known and loved this ministry for many years. I'm new serving with it, but I'm from Florida originally, and my home church in Florida was a strong partner of Redeeming Life. And so I've just, I've loved this ministry and the directors since its inception. And then, without making it too long of a story, I moved to St. Louis with my husband when he studied in seminary, and then went through the deaconess program myself. And it was during that time that I reconnected with the directors of the program, and they had been working on these expansions. They'd already expanded to Illinois and had their eyes set on St. Louis. And I was going to be staying in this area for a long time. This is where my husband's call was. And so it just became a beautiful partnership where I could be helpful in this next phase of expansion for them.
Yeah. Why is this ministry important to you? You mentioned you've loved it for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Why is this particular ministry important to you?
Yeah. Well, I think I, like so many Lutherans, am very life-affirming in my beliefs. I believe in life ministry strongly, but my personality is probably not the one who's going to be, marching or doing the very loud things, which we need. We need people who participate in the marches and make those public stands. But my heart is to provide deeper care and walk alongside people in relationship. And that's what this ministry does. And so I think it's a good fit for the desire God has placed in my heart for serving.
This is a little personal to me because I am also going to the deaconess program right now. But how does deaconess training, that spiritual care and teaching the faith, that training help equip you to do this type of ministry? Yeah.
Well, I mean, deaconesses are trained in spiritual care, mercy work, and teaching. Those are the three tenets of deaconess ministry, and all three of those are present in what we do at Redeeming Life. We provide spiritual care. That's one of the biggest goals is, you know, we want to serve the women in many ways, but most of all, we want them to know their Savior. And so being able to walk alongside them and meet those needs, teaching. We work one-on-one with the residents. We do a lot of Bible study together. We do a lot of teaching about God's word. And then mercy care is just finding people's physical, emotional, social needs and seeing how we can help that. So I think this role that I have with Redeeming Life is kind of perfect fit for a deacon.
Do you have stories of women that Redeeming Life has served over the years?
Well, we've served over 100 women in our homes over the years. And I've gotten to know in the last year several of them very, very well. And I've been just, I knew I was going to see incredible things, but I don't think I knew how incredible or how quickly I would get to see those things. Mm-hmm. God is so good. Just in our home right now, we have a woman who, she's in our Florida home. She's actually in our transition home because in Florida, we have our year-long program, but then we have another home that they can apply to for 2 more years to live a little more independently. But this woman, when she came to Redeeming Life, she was at the bottom of the bottom, like in the deepest pit. She's a little older than your typical resident, and she has experienced a lot of adult life and a lot of tragedy, a lot of hurt, a lot of bad choices. But when she came to Redeeming Life, she was in that pit and she knew that there was nothing she could do for herself. A year later, you wouldn't know that it was the same woman. This woman has a sweet little boy who she's an amazing mother to. She's gone back to school and is working on a hospitality management degree because she loves working in restaurants. She's become not only hired in a restaurant, but has become the manager of that restaurant. She's been able to purchase a car. She's catching up on back taxes. It's one thing after the other. And she spoke at our annual gala a few months ago, and just hearing the recognition she has that there was nothing she could have done for herself, and she knows God now, and she knows that she is loved and she is redeemed and that all of these things weren't by her own strength, but they came from him. That's been incredible. We have another woman in Illinois who's going to be baptized soon. She came to us a little over 6 months ago, and she was actually Buddhist when she came to us and just kind of believed in a plurality of faiths. And about she participated well in Bible study. She was interested in learning. But then about 3 months ago, God just changed her dramatically. And she is so hungry. Meeting with her is so beautiful because she just wants to know. She didn't ever know grace and that could be a free gift before. And she just is so excited and is also wanting to share with other people. She's has a sister that she's telling, and women who come to her in her nail salon, she's just on fire to share what she's learned with other people. So it's just really a neat thing to get to see God so clearly at work in the lives of these women.
Yeah. What does that mean for you? How is that encouraging to you in this work? Because I imagine it's not always easy work to be working with women who are in crisis.
Yeah.
What does that mean for you to see the fruits of some of the fruits of what's happening?
I think any time we serve other people, we end up just as served. And when these women share their stories with me, and when they, you know, I know that I'm only sharing with them what God has given me to share. There's nothing that's my own that I'm sharing. So when I talk with them and then they share the impact that's making on their lives, I just am in awe that God is allowing me to be part of what he's doing. Because truly, he can work in any way that he chooses. But he chooses to work through us, as broken sinners, to share his love with other people. And so it's humbling and just fills me with thankfulness.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you mentioned the long-term programs that Redeeming Life has. Talk us through a little bit of the programming that Redeeming Life offers. It sounds very interesting.
Women come to us from a variety of situations. So much of our program is tailored to them. But when they come in, they all kind of go through the same first 12 weeks of programming. So we have financial literacy assignments that they do. We have spiritual care assignments. We have just life skills that we work with them on. And it's kind of structured for that first week. There's a program manager at each location who does case management and meets regularly with each woman individually and helps her go through this basic programming and helps her set short-term and long-term goals and does individual Bible study with her, providing spiritual care. All of our women also attend church and Bible study. We have a we rely on a network of churches for support, but there's always a host church that's close by, and the women go to that church every week and go through adult catechesis and get to know the congregation and are provided spiritual care there. And we provide mental health counseling. We have each resident gets at least 6 sessions, and then if more would be helpful for her, we continue that as long as she's in the program. We set her up with any kind of government services that might be helpful to her, help her if she doesn't have a high school diploma, help her get on track for a GED. There's just many, many things. And then once she's done with the first 12 weeks and getting all those things set, then we still continue to meet once a week, and we help her with then her specific goals and just anything that she might need. We also, our residents all live in a home together with no more than 6 residents, and they have a residential manager who helps them learn to live in that house as a family, because a huge part of our program is to show the women a beautiful way that a family can operate together. So they share responsibilities around the household. They take turns cooking meals. They eat dinner as a family every night and do devotions together so that they can have that model of what a household can look like as they learn to be moms. And we also provide parenting education. That's something that all of our residents go through.
Fantastic. We have more to talk about with Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries in just a moment. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia University Chicago. I'm thrilled to announce the Prepared to Serve Church Professional Guarantee. Any new student in one of CUC's 6 church work programs will pay no more than $5,000 in annual tuition and required fees guaranteed. Prepared to Serve is a donor-funded initiative. Support future church work students by becoming a funding partner at cuchicago.edu/preparedtoserve. Concordia University Chicago. With Christ at the center, we stand tall for the church.
Welcome back to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth. Joining me is Deaconess Jessica Thompson, Director of Program and Ministry Services for Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. And you've given us a really beautiful picture of what Redeeming Life has been able to do. How long has Redeeming Life been operating?
13 years now.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. And you said over 100 women?
Yes, over 100 women. Yep.
That is fantastic. And so Redeeming Life has been around for 13 years, started in Sanford, Florida. How has Redeeming Life expanded over that time?
Yeah. So our first home was in Sanford, Florida. And for a long time, that was our home. We started with just the maternity home, which is the one-year program, but then expanded to purchase another home, which is our transition home. We discovered kind of early on that 1 year is enough time to really get a woman through the crisis phase, growing a lot, setting goals. But many of the women at the end of the 1 year are ready to live independently, but some can use a little bit more time. They're making progress in their goals, but maybe they've gone back to school, lots of things. Mm-hmm. So they can apply at the end of the 1 year to live in the transition home for 2 more years and still receive services, but not as intensely, live a little more independently. And then 2 years ago, we opened our Northern Illinois home, which is in East Dundee, which is a little west of Chicago. And so that's been up and running and is thriving. And so now we're on phase 4, which is St. Louis expansion, with a goal of expanding even further. St. Louis, we hope, is not the end. We hope this is something that continues to grow to different districts.
What was the reasoning for wanting to expand to St. Louis?
Yeah, St. Louis, well, is kind of a hub of Lutheranism. Yeah,
right.
there's need everywhere you go, and there is much need in St. Louis. There are many churches in our early conversations who are excited about being supportive, so we know that the support is here. And also, we thought St. Louis could be a launching point in many ways out to other districts. You know, there's just a high visibility in St. Louis. We can raise awareness and help people see what this is as they're thinking about maybe this going to other districts. It's a huge blessing to have the seminary close by if we're looking for opportunities for seminarians to be exposed to this kind of work and maybe even have some partnerships there. So it just kind of made sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. There are a lot of Lutherans here.
There
and
are.
A lot who I imagine would be very supportive of a ministry like this and so many opportunities for partnerships, too.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. Talk a little bit more about the need for something like this in St. Louis. Are there other maternity homes here? Like, what are the resources that are similar to Redeeming Life here?
Yeah. So Missouri is, in many ways, a very life-affirming state. We mm-hmm. have a lot of life-affirming ministries, not necessarily Lutheran, are present in Missouri, and we have laws that make it feasible to do that here. Yeah. Lots of crisis pregnancy centers. We have great organizations that do like sidewalk counseling outside of abortion clinics. So there's a lot of immediate help available. There are a couple homes in the greater area similar to ours, not Lutheran. We have a goal of putting the home in an area of St. Louis that is safe, where the women can feel safe and secure, but also where they can be close to resources that they have. And I don't think that that exists now.
So where are you in the planning process for the St. Louis expansion?
We're in the development and fundraising phase right now. The initial startup of any new thing like this takes a lot of fundraising and partnerships, sure, because the first thing we have to do here is purchase a home.
Right.
We have a plan for how to implement it, and it's a blessing that we've already replicated once. And mm-hmm. so we know how to open a home, and we've also learned from replicating some things we can do even better. So we're very well situated to get the services started, but we need to get the home first.
Sure.
So we're talking with congregations and people who are excited about the ministry and working on raising those funds so that we can purchase a home and do any renovations that we need to and then launch.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. What are the plans then for the near future in St. Louis?
Yeah. Our dream and goal would be, and it's God willing, but would be to open in late 2027, which would mean purchasing a home early 2027. And so right now the focus is getting into different congregations, getting advocates in those congregations who will help the congregation learn about us, connect with the people we need to connect with. Yeah, but that's what we hope. We hope in a year and a half to be able to start serving women in our home.
Yeah, that's not that far away.
No.
That's really exciting. Yeah. What has the response been from the people you've been able to talk to in the St. Louis area when you share that this is a ministry and that you're looking to expand here?
Yeah, it's been beautiful. It's been so exciting. I think when people understand what this ministry is, I think it speaks to our hearts. We know that we want women to keep their babies when they're in these situations. We know that we want them to choose life. But I think we also deep down know that in order to do that, then we as the church need to be prepared to walk alongside those women and help mm-hmm. them know how to be a mom and help them know how to be independent. So when people learn about this ministry and how we do that, the response has been beautiful and positive.
What have you learned along the way through the expansion, through your time just onboarding into the organization? What have you learned about this type of ministry and the way that these homes can really benefit women?
Yeah, I've been struck by, I don't know, I took some psychology classes and learned about Maslow's hierarchy of needs. Mm-hmm. Seeing it play out, there's so many of these women are so eager. They're eager to be good moms. They're excited about this life that God has given them, but they're also terrified and don't know even where to start. And just being able to provide safety and security for them, that lower level of needs, opens the possibilities for them of being able to receive the spiritual care and the practical care mm-hmm. that we have for them. And so growth is really rapid. I think I've been amazed at how rapid it's been and how excited these women are just to experience this. We have a woman in our Florida home who's been with us about a month, and she lived on the streets for a long time, and she had a really rough time before coming to us. And when I talked to her after she had been in the home for a week, she cried because she had never eaten a family meal together. And so simple things like that, just the act of like sitting down as a family at a table together, sharing food, sharing stories together, that so many of us take for granted, just that safety and security, that feeling of being loved, is not what everyone experiences. Mm-hmm. And when we can meet those needs, then they're sponges for so many other things that we have to offer.
Yeah. What does that community do then for women who are coming out of crisis? And I think we all learned a lot coming out of the pandemic about how important it is for us to be in person in community with each other. What does that mean for these women to have that type of community when they're learning how to be good moms?
Yeah. I mean, our hope is always that they're learning a new way. You know, we can, a lot of times hear about things in theory, but until you experience something, you know, that's how you really learn it. And so for these women to experience and really see a picture of what family and home and life can be like, our prayer and hope is that then when they have their own home and when they're mm-hmm. they're the head of their own family, they can remember that and model that, and that can be, their children can have a different experience than they had coming mm-hmm. into the home.
Yeah. Now, you mentioned the one woman in Illinois that's going to be baptized.
Yes.
And the Bible study, that devotional life, does that mean for these women to have a foundation in God's word? How many of them are familiar with God's word?
Yeah, they come from all different levels. You know, we have some who come and really, as children, went to church and are pretty familiar with God's word, and others who are completely unfamiliar.
Yeah.
And so it's very different for each woman. But even the ones who come, so I haven't experienced anyone who's been antagonistic to it. We're very upfront when women come in. Part of our interview process when we're taking women in is they know that we go to church together and we go to Bible study together and that spiritual care will be part of it. So we don't typically have women who are fighting against that.
Sure.
They're receptive. But just their level of exposure before coming to us is varied. But even the ones who come to us and have a church background, many of them have a kind of a law-based church background where they, you know, they think that being a Christian means being a good person and making all the right choices and kind of earning God's favor. And so even for those women, this idea that it's completely God's grace mm-hmm. and that we are sinners, we are all sinners, I'm a sinner too, and that he has redeemed us, that he has called us by name, that he loves us that much. I mean, just the idea of baptism, many of them know what baptism is, but when they learn that baptism is even for their babies because it's God claiming them, it's not them trying to reach up to God, that's very new for them. And so I have found a hunger in a lot of them when they realize that it is a gift, that it's not something that they have to earn, and that the guilt and the shame that they feel is forgiven mm-hmm. and covered. That's really beautiful. It's very freeing for a lot of them.
Yeah, we do love baptism stories here. Talk a little bit more about that. How many of these women have their babies baptized?
Yeah. A lot of them, not all of them.
Sure.
And we tell them up front, we said we can't force anyone to believe. And that's the Holy Spirit's work.
Right.
But we are going to bring you to where God's gifts are. You know, we're going to bring you there and let him do his work on you. And so many of them do have their babies baptized. We had a beautiful, beautiful and sad experience recently where we had a mom in our home whose baby was born premature and he hadn't developed well in utero. And so he only lived 2 days after he was born. And so it was so hard, but also beautiful. And by the time he was born, the mom, she's just gotten to such a beautiful point in her faith, walking alongside her in her pregnancy where we didn't know for sure what the ending was going to be, but we anticipated and helping her grieve and learn the promise of the resurrection was beautiful. Mm-hmm. But then her son lived for 2 days after he was born and he was able to be baptized in the hospital, which was amazing.
Yeah.
And then she has that comfort of knowing that he's in the arms of Jesus. And then after he was born, she was also then baptized too. And to hear her speak, I mean, it's so real to her because she knows that she and her son are not together now, but they will be together one day with God, and her son will be perfectly, he'll have his new body and it'll be beautiful. So it was a really cool, I mean, lots of women have their children baptized, but that one was especially striking for me, like just seeing the impact of that assurance for her as she grieves the loss of her son was incredible.
I need some tissue for this episode. So good, so good. So next steps for the expansion to St. Louis is basically fundraising and finding a home at this point.
Yeah, we're talking to as many people as we can. We're asking them, we ask people to pray, partner, and connect with us. So that's the three things we're trying to get people to do to, you know, we believe in the power of prayer and praying that God would open the doors that need to be opened. He knows, it's his plans, not ours, to partner with us. And right now, financially is the best way that people can do that. We don't accept any government funding. We're completely run through the generosity of the church.
Mm-hmm.
So we ask for that. And then to connect with us and just like learn about our ministry, we encourage anyone to go on our website, which is rolm.org, and sign up for our newsletter so you can get updates. We're also on Facebook and Instagram so that people can follow what's going on there and see that's happening in the Ministry of Redeeming Life.
Perfect. And we'll put those links in the show notes if people are interested in learning more about Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. Jessica Thompson, Director of Program and Ministry Services for Redeeming Life Outreach Ministries. Thanks so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.